Our morning conversation today focuses on Southern Illinois University Carbondale with our monthly visit from SIUC Chancellor Rita Chang. Chancellor, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Jennifer.
We learned early last week, I believe, the enrollment numbers for the fall of 2012. I think some people were surprised, not that it was lower, but maybe how much lower it was. Were you surprised?
Well, we've been tracking the junior and senior classes for quite some time, and we saw softness in the transfer students as early as spring. So we knew that we were going to be down considerably. We had a drop in our summer enrollment, which was driven by those same factors. So that wasn't a surprise to us. What was the one big surprise was the melt of the new freshmen. We had increases in applications, increases in enrollments. We had increases in our new student orientations over the summer, and then those students did not come. And we've got research efforts underway right now, and we're finding those students are at community colleges, deciding not to transfer, deciding not to attend university first, but going to community colleges first.
Money really being an issue here.
Financial issues are huge, and affordability is a big national topic. Congress is going to be talking about affordability later this week, and we are an affordable university, but for so many people, the price tag is scary, and until they start talking with our financial aid folks, they really don't think that, that college is within their reach.
You know, you and others talk about how Southern Illinois University Carbondale is one of the lowest has one of the lowest tuition rates in the state, and when you put it in perspective, it looks a little bit better, but when you see that initial price, it can be a little bit daunting.
Agreed. And all of our sister institutions are seeing the effects of the finances on the economy, as well as the fact that there just aren't as many high school and graduates. And so all of the early indicators are that our sister institutions are also feeling the same effects as SIU.
I know that you have been talking a lot about changing the image among people who are prospective students, the parents of prospective students, and really just everyone who may not have an accurate picture of SIU. Did the events of last year, the strike, did that have an effect on the number of students, you think, on campus?
Well, I was quoted early summer saying, every time I turn around, there's something negative that happens that counters all the positives. And it is the positives that we need to make sure get into the marketplace and get into the news so that people really know what a special place this is. When I talk to alums, when I talk to current students, I know that we deliver on that message of strong academics and a great student experience. And why that isn't getting into the high school's counselors, the parents, and the student conversations is a question that we've asked ourselves and that we're really directing all of our messaging to.
Are you hearing people saying, as you kind of research why they chose not to come to SIU, are they saying that negative stereotype or those negative images are part of their reason?
As we have done research now over the last 2.5 years, that's a consistent theme. People don't know enough about us, and what they do know is outdated and inaccurate.
For people who are here and wondering kind of what this all means, are you still looking at class sizes? Are you looking at things that may be reduced this semester because there are not enough, you know, bodies in the seats?
We're clearly looking across the campus at reorganization, realignment, and restructuring, mostly in the non-academic units or in the non-faculty and the staff support services. But we are also looking very closely at course scheduling, class size, our academic policies that allow students to go through our system in a rational and efficient way.
For, say, the staff or the faculty, are we looking at staff reductions, or is this, you know, are we absorbing in other ways?
Our hiring freeze is still on. And that means that every position that comes forward is reviewed by multiple eyes, and only the priority positions are being filled.
How did the retirements over the summer, we saw at least a couple of hundred on this campus alone, are those being used to absorb some of the deficit in terms of tuition dollars?
Definitely. Definitely, and that means that we won't have some of the painful discussions about furloughs and layoffs that you might expect from the state appropriation cut and the downturn in enrollment.
There are a lot of people who look at an article or a story that says there are 970 fewer students on campus this fall, and they say, well, what should the size of this university be? There has been a slide for so many years, and they wonder, was SIU bigger than it needed to be several years ago, and it's right-sizing itself?
Some of the size issues of the past were driven by two-year degree programs that we no longer have and haven't had for almost 20 years. So the downturn in enrollment was created by some of these policy changes. And there are demographic ups and downs, and we'll have 6 years of demographic issues that will affect enrollment. But I do think that there's no reason that we shouldn't have more enrollment in certain programs that are really very spectacular programs, programs that will give students a launch into terrific careers. We will need to work through that smaller junior and senior. Next year's junior class will be seniors, and that is the smallest class we've ever had. So that is going to be really an important turnaround. The other thing, Jennifer, is when I look at what's happening across the state, most of the downturn in our sister institution is driven by pretty significant downturns in new first-time freshmen. It's not the case at SIU. Our enrollment decline was really driven by the current students' classes that are smaller. Our freshman class did go down a bit from last year, but it's up overall since 2010, and the decline wasn't overall driven by those freshman classes.
That's certainly the trend that you've been looking for.
And it's positive. It's positive for the future.
A lot of people are kind of curious as to how things are going. We saw the University of Illinois report that it was up 7 or 8% in terms of enrollment. Eastern Illinois University down between 6 and 7%. Is there a rhyme or a reason to why the U of I would be up so much more and other institutions are down?
Well, U of I and Northern numbers haven't come in because they started a week after we did, so their 10th day was yesterday. But early indicators from U of I are that their international students and their out-of-state student numbers are up considerably. So we don't know what their in-state numbers will be, but I would expect that they would be even or up slightly. They have a huge demand and are not looking for additional students to apply and enroll. They have students waiting in line. But our sister institutions, Eastern is down by 6.8%. Western is down by 4%. ISU, Illinois State University, is down by 2%. We're down by 4.9%. And SIU Edwardsville is down by 1.3%. And I think, kind of remarkably, Western new freshmen is down over 10%. Eastern new freshmen are down, and Illinois State University's freshmen are down by 7%. So that was what I was talking about, that, what are the drivers of this? And if the drivers are new freshmen, those numbers stay with you for a long time.
Sure. And, of course, this is something that we'll continue to keep an eye on. I'm sure something you're very interested in for the next several years as we watch those classes move through, the smaller ones move out, the larger ones move in. Changing gears a little bit, the SIU Board of Trustees will meet later this week. I know that you'll be giving them an enrollment update, but among the things on the agenda, an increase in pay for some of the workers on campus. Can you tell us who is affected there?
Well, we're very happy to bring forward to the board request for a pay increase for our non-represented staff. And these individuals have waited a while because our represented staff and faculty pay increases went in effective July 1. We want to make sure that the people who are here who are working so hard know that even though we're limited in what we can offer, we want to recognize their good work.
Another thing that is a part of this, this is the time of year when the Board of Trustees takes a look at construction projects and the big projects that are going on. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I'm really pleased to see the Communications Building is at the top of that list. That's where WSIU Radio is housed, and we're really excited about changes there. How much are those new projects a part of what you're telling prospective students and even students who are just starting out?
Quality learning spaces, Jennifer, are key to our ability to attract and retain the students who can go anywhere to get an education. The Communications Building addition and remodel is so exciting. We have groups of faculty and staff now working with an architect on the detail of how this space can best support our academic mission. And having that as number one priority in our capital ramp, I think, makes all of us very excited about what's going to happen here on the west end of the campus in the future.
Now, you still have people who see budget problems for the university, that you're struggling to make ends meet in many areas, and then they see ambitious construction projects like this one, and they say, well, why can't you use some of that money for your operating expenses? Can you kind of go through the complications there?
Those are two completely separate budgets. Our operating budget is separate and ongoing from our capital budget, which is debt that the state incurs to invest in the future. So it isn't possible for me to take capital money and supplement or boost up our operating, or vice versa. And so it's important that people understand that the stresses on the budget are really on our operating side. That's ongoing money. Once it's committed, it has to be appropriated year after year after year. And when there isn't enough money, we see reductions in that appropriation. On the other side, there was a long, long time in the state of Illinois when the state did not invest in new buildings or renovations on college campuses. And now there's a recognition that our buildings are getting old, they need to be repaired and replaced, and there's a commitment by the state to address that deferred maintenance.
A lot of people drive by every day and see the progress on that student services building, which should be done at least by this time next year. You're hoping as the students come in that they'll see that. Is this going to be the face of the university as people come in? Is this the first thing you want people to see?
Obviously, that new and prospective students need to have that as the first point of contact with the university. We'll have guest parking, so a student may come to campus with their family, find a place to park very easily, and have their questions answered by staff in that building. Tours will start there. The questions about financial aid, about courses, career services, all of the support structures around making sure a student doesn't get lost in our system will be in that building. 19 departments.
Sure, and we'll be watching the progress on that as well. Kind of getting off of the day-to-day things, we talked several months ago about your hopes and your aspirations for an online learning program through Southern Illinois University. We're watching a lot of programs come to community college campuses in this region, private universities saying you can come get a four-year degree here. How is the progress of online learning at SIU?
Online learning has had a significant growth, and as I said in the State of the University address, we brought in $6 million from our online learning. This year, our focus will be on completing the online courses that are part of the core, and also making sure that our university studies degree can be completed completely online. Our university studies degree is a degree completion program, and so many people who are out there listening who have some college credit and are thinking about whether or not it would be possible to complete a bachelor's degree can know that by this time next year that we will have the university studies online. We're also sending out seed grant calls to the faculty and staff for degree programs in niche markets that we could launch to expand our reach. Our online learning strategy is to embed our online in the academics of the university, with faculty oversight and quality being the focus of what we do. We can't compete with some of the for-profits, but clearly the traditional university model, where we bring our university to a broader audience, is our strategy.
How does that balance in? We started off this morning talking about enrollment. How does online learning come into play when you talk about planning for what you need on the physical campus versus what you'll need out in that virtual campus?
Well, we're finding our students want a mix. They want to be on campus, and clearly the undergraduate experience on the campus will always be of great value. But our students are also saying, I want to take that one class, and it's conflicting with another, but I can take it online, and I can make sure that I graduate in 4 years. Alternatively, there's someone who is 90 miles away saying, I wish I had a lifestyle that would allow me to move to Carbondale to finish my degree, but I just can't. I have children, I have a job, I have responsibilities. We can reach out to them. So there's a combination here, Jennifer, that is very powerful.
And partnerships, we mentioned the community colleges and those for-profit universities there. Will there be staff, and will there be kind of support there for students?
Our service center providers at the 7 community colleges will be teaching our University 101 course in the very near future. And we can offer online courses to community college students to, again, help them transition to their move to SIU.
For people who are thinking, maybe they have, say, juniors or seniors in high school right now, they're thinking about getting started on that college process. What do you say to them in terms of what they ought to be asking of potential universities, and what sets SIU apart?
Well, if students are in college, in high school right now and preparing for college, make sure that the focus on math and English doesn't go away. Don't be turned off by the conversations about college being too expensive. We'll help you in sorting that out. And there is no better investment that a family and students can make. A college degree is something you will have with you for the rest of your life, and a college degree from SIU will take you far.
It slipped my mind a moment ago, but we still have a minute or two. The Board of Trustees will also consider a proposal that will allow, if I understand it correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, students with high ACT and SAT scores to get in-state tuition, just one of the perks of those high-caliber students you're hoping to attract?
Yes, it's a strategy that we're hoping that the board will support so that we can go out to areas of the country where we have large alums and encourage their families to talk about SIU and help us recruit students who are high achieving, have choices, and can consider SIU.
Do you see it at any time, and this is kind of a higher education as a whole question, this whole in-state tuition versus out-of-state tuition, will that kind of merge and then go away?
As the environment becomes more and more competitive, Jennifer. We are seeing our Board of State initiative was in response to Missouri and Kentucky offering in-state tuition to Illinois residents. Now we're seeing Indiana and Michigan and others offer high-achieving students in-state tuition. So it is getting blurred. And I think it will continue to be, because not only are we in competition with traditional universities, but we have all of the online stuff happening, the massive online courses and all of the various kinds of things that are starting to change the very environment where higher ed does its work.
Certainly a lot of changes happening. Chancellor, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.